The Queen's Men. True stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Names have been changed for family protection. And now transcribe The Queen's Men.
Well, how do you new recruits look, Inspector?
I'm always amazed the way most of the men turn out. Looking at that bunch today, you mightn't suspect there'd be a dozen good investigators out of them finally. But there will be.
Always on the lookout for investigators, eh, Inspector?
Well, I remember our situation during the war, when the force was really suffering from a loss of trained investigators. Left to join the armed forces, you know. Left us pretty badly crippled.
Yeah, I guess so.
You may not have the same recollection of it as I do. I was in the missing persons C Division in Vancouver. As you know, a disappearance act sets in operation a tremendous portion of the machinery of the RCMP.
But the force did pretty well at keeping up with missing persons during the war years, though, didn't it, Inspector?
Yes, it did surprisingly well. I remember a case that came along at the very worst possible time. I wasn't on the case myself, had to pull out shortly after the initial report. But I remember getting the story roughed in later.
Missing persons case?
Started out that way. Looked routine at first. But it turned out to have very dramatic developments. I was with Assistant Commissioner Tucker in his office at headquarters the morning he lost three of his best investigators all at one blow. He was feeling pretty disconsolate, to say the least.
War is a dreadful thing, Inspector. Dreadful waste.
Well, now, sir, those three men know how to look after themselves. They'll come out of it all right.
Oh, I have no doubt they will, but what I mean is it's a waste of ability, of training. They're trained for private investigation here in Western Canada. They know the people, their attitudes, they know the terrain. They're thoroughly trained for exactly the job they've been doing. In the Army, they'll be, well, they'll be valuable, all right. But think of the time wasted teaching them new tricks. And then teaching them the old ones again after it's all over.
Yes, that's so.
Of course, I'm being selfish. I realize that. What I'm really worried about is how my division is going to get along without them.
Well, at any rate, your dogs aren't volunteering for war duty.
If they could talk, you'd be sure they'd volunteer, all right. Our mounted police dogs would be welcome, too, I dare say. Well, Inspector, you'll be heading east in a few days.
Yes, there's a job waiting for me. Then I'll be back. I hope things are going to be quiet around here for you until you get some new men.
I doubt I'll get any. All the division are short-staffed, you know. You'll just have to make the best of it, I'm afraid. But if there has to be some excitement, I hope it's a nice, simple robbery or attempted assault. Anything but a missing person.
And there's been quite an outbreak of disappearances since the war started.
Yes, I've been looking into the reasons for that. One of them is... Oh, excuse me. Tucker speaking.
Assistant Commissioner Tucker?
Yes, speaking.
Well, Commissioner, this is George Hayes Telford, the solicitor.
Oh, yes, Mr. Telford. One of your clients in trouble?
I think he might be. He might be in pretty bad trouble, Commissioner. You see, 5 days ago, he mysteriously disappeared.
Oh, disappeared, did he? Now, Mr. Telford, are you sure he's to be classed among missing persons? What I mean is, have you looked into this yourself? Have you satisfied yourself he's not off on a fishing trip or on a bender?
Oh, neither of those, Commissioner. Say, you don't sound very happy.
Well, I'm not. I'd like to have a good talk with you before we go to work on this. See if there isn't some simple way of tracing him.
That would certainly suit me. I don't know the man at all. I received a notification of his disappearance from his wife.
Have you acted for them in the past?
Wrote his will a couple of years ago, that's all.
Then if you know him as casually as that, I doubt you can throw much light on his disappearance. Maybe you'd better send his wife in to see me, and we'll start from there.
I'll do that, Commissioner. How soon do you want to see her?
Right away, by all means. Send her in this afternoon.
Right. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
Well, that's a tough break, Commissioner.
Sometimes I think I'm jinxed. Well, I mustn't complain. It's our job, Inspector, and short-staffed or no, we've got to do the job the best way we can. Please sit down, Mrs. Weeks.
Thank you.
You must be very upset, I know.
I'll say I'm upset, Commissioner.
We'll do everything in our power to locate your husband. Well, there probably isn't too much to worry about. We've found there are countless things that can happen, cause a great deal of worry, but in nearly all cases, we find people safe and unharmed.
Well, just so you find out who he's with, I don't care how safe he is. I just want to know if he's run off with some woman, that's all.
You think there's a possibility of that, Mrs. Weeks?
There's a possibility of anything with that man.
I mean, is he in the habit of, would you say, had he some lady friends?
I never know who his friends are. All I know is he can't be trusted.
I see. Has your husband ever run afoul of the law, Mrs. Weeks?
Not that I know of. Although it's a mystery to me, he hasn't.
Why did you say that? Has he been carrying on any activities that would suggest breaking of the law?
Commissioner, I never did know what his activities were. He's always so busy lying to me that I can't sift out the truth from the lies anymore.
Well, now, I'd better start from the beginning and get some of the background. His name is Alfred Linwood Weeks. And your address?
150 North Street.
How long have you lived there?
17 years, ever since we were married. They've been 17 miserable years, Commissioner, and I should be glad I'm rid of him. I just want to know who he's with.
Excuse me a minute.
Yes, Commissioner?
I'd like to see Detective Corporal Hayward in my office right away.
Corporal's down at provincial headquarters right now, Commissioner. Said he'd be about half an hour.
Oh, I see. Well, as soon as he comes back, send him in here, will you?
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Now then, Mrs. Weeks, tell me some more about your husband.
Sorry, I wasn't there when you wanted me, Commissioner.
Well, I'll give you the details, Corporal. It's a missing persons case, and I'm putting you on it. A man called Weeks, Alfred Linwood Weeks. Ever hear of him?
Well, I don't think so, sir.
You might have a look in the files to start. He sounds pretty unsavory, from his wife's version at any rate.
Well, when did he disappear, Commissioner?
5 days ago. Reason I called you, I wanted you to hear her version of him. Not much love lost there, I can tell you.
Possible desertion.
I think so. Well, here's the outline. He's been working for Jordan's Electric for 17 years, since his marriage. Has lived in the same house here in Vancouver all that time. Always takes his vacation the first 2 weeks in July. So 5 days ago, on July 1st, he and his wife set out by car. Left about noon. And that evening arrived at a farm owned by friends of theirs, just outside the town of Rodney.
Where were they heading?
Yes, that's an interesting point. I was getting to that. Mrs. Weeks said their destination was not disclosed to her by her husband. He merely said it was a surprise. What do you make of that, Hayward?
Well, just offhand, looks as though he may have planned to disappear and wanted to keep the end of the trail a blank.
Just what occurred to me. Well, the people at the farm, name of Anderson, put them up for the night. They didn't have much room, so it was decided Mrs. Weeks and Mrs. Anderson would share the one bedroom. Anderson would sleep in the granary, and Weeks on the living room sofa.
Mm-hmm.
They sat up quite late, talking, and they went to their respective beds. Mrs. Weeks says that about 6 the next morning, she thought she heard someone attempt to start their car without success. And when they arose, Weeks was gone. His car was still in the lane.
And what'd they do then?
Sat around for 4 days, waiting. And yesterday, Mrs. Weeks returned to Vancouver by bus. Today, she contacted her lawyer, and he made the report to me.
And there's been no word at all from Weeks?
No word. And she seems to have mighty little information about his activities.
Well, I'd better start with Anderson, don't you think, Commissioner?
Yes, I'd say so. But check the files first and see if you can dig up anything about Weeks. Use whatever men and resources you need, Hayward, but try to crack this case as fast as you can.
Yeah, I know your situation, Commissioner.
Well, we have to tighten our schedule. Speed up on everything.
Well, I'll work around the clock if necessary.
And keep me posted, will you?
Constable Barlow, come in.
I've been through the fingerprints and the photo file, Corporal. Had a couple of the men double-checking. Can't find a thing on Weeks.
I don't seem to have anything here either.
And yet, you know, that name sounds familiar. You know how you learn to register a name with a vague connection sometimes?
You got some kind of connection in mind?
Well, I seem to have something.
Well, it might give us an idea of which direction to start looking in.
Well, just as soon as I get close, I lose it. Weeks?
Well, we'd better not waste time on it. Time is valuable these days. We'd better head for the town of Rodney and... RCMP headquarters, Detective Corporal Hayward.
It's Detective Miller of the city police, Corporal.
Oh, yes, yes, I've been trying to reach
you. I got your message. I went straight to the files, and I have some information on Weeks. Don't know how valuable it is to you, but...
You got something? Well, good.
My investigation shows that Weeks has been strongly suspected of issuing a worthless check.
Bad check, eh?
Check. That's it.
Go on, Miller.
Well, he was instructed last week by one of our men to report here at the station on July 7th. That's tomorrow. At which time we plan to have a witness available for identification. Now, that's about all we've got at the moment, Corporal.
Well, it's better than nothing. Gives us a good indication of the kind of man we're after. I'll send someone down to see you. Get all the details, and right now I'm heading out of town.
Well, good luck, Corporal.
Thanks. I'll get in touch with you tomorrow. Perhaps by then you'll have turned something up.
We'll do our best, Corporal.
And goodbye. You know something about that check, Barlow?
Well, I just heard about it. Detective Simmons was the one who got the first lead.
Then contact Simmons right away. And tell him to get down and see Miller of the city police and fill in the story for him.
Right.
Then meet me out front in 10 minutes. I'll have a car waiting headed for Rodney. Now then, Mr. Anderson, you say you were not very well acquainted with Weeks.
No, I hardly knew the man. Didn't like him especially either.
Yet you invited him to be a guest in your home.
Well, they came dropping in on us. We like to be neighborly, you know. Say, why don't you officers come on in the house? I'll have the wife make a cup of tea.
Well, thanks. We'd like to, but we can't take the time right now. I'd just like to know how you became acquainted with Mr. and Mrs. Weeks.
Well, we met Alf alone first. He came by one day asking about old Ollie Marchek down the other side of town.
Oh, what about Marchek?
Well, he's a real old guy. One of these old-age pensioners. Lonely old guy, you know. Never seemed to have any friends. And when Weeks came along and said he was an insurance investigator...
What did he say he was?
Insurance investigator. Said there might be a big legacy in store for Ollie. Only he didn't want to get old Ollie's hopes up. So he was investigating him through his friends. Well, like I say, Ollie never had many friends. And we knew him a bit. So we told Weeks what we could about him.
Hmm. So he told you he was an insurance investigator?
Sure. Well, wasn't he?
Well, not to our knowledge. You taking all this down, Barlow?
Yes, Corporal.
Now, Mr. Anderson, what kind of questions did Weeks ask you about this Ollie Marchek?
Oh, all kinds of questions. How he lived, what he did, what time he went in and out. Funny kind of questions.
Yoo-hoo, Arnold.
Oh, there's the wife.
Are those men you're with Mountie?
Yes, Ellie. Nothing to be afraid of.
Oh, I'm not afraid. It's just that they're wanted on the phone. Vancouver's calling.
Hello? Hayward here.
It's Miller of the city police, Corporal.
Yeah? Well, how'd you find me?
Your man Simmons told me I could reach you there. We've dug up something further. I thought you might like to know about it while you're still in Rodney.
Well, let's have it.
Well, it might be just coincidence, but we've located a soldier from Camp Bartlett who says there's a fellow there been trying to persuade him to assist in a robbery out there in Rodney.
A robbery? Well, did he say who they were going to rob?
Well, of course, he denies any connection with it at all. Just that he was approached about it. Said he turned down the offer. Claims it was to rob some old-age pensioner out there.
Marchek?
What's that?
Did he say the old man's name was Marchek?
No. He didn't give his name. As I said, maybe just a coincidence.
No. I don't think so. I think the trail is narrowing. Where's the soldier now?
He's back at camp. He made his confession last month when he was picked up for disorderly conduct.
Well, let's hope we can get a hold of him again. And thanks for your assistance, Miller. I think we're onto something bigger than just a missing person.
In just a moment, we'll return for the second part of this true story of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Queen's Men. And now we return you to the Queen's Men.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Barlow.
That's all right, sir.
I can see you now. Come on in.
Thanks.
Sit down.
Corporal Hayward asked me to come in and make my report to you before joining him again at Rodney.
He sent you up to Camp Bartlett to question that soldier, didn't he?
Yes, sir. The corporal is staying right there in Rodney, questioning the residents and seeing what he can pick up.
Well, between you, you've picked up an amazing amount in 3 days. What about this soldier now?
Well, his name is Wilkins. I think he's telling a true story, Commissioner. First of all, he claimed that the man who approached him about the robbery was not called Weeks.
He wasn't?
But he was obviously using an assumed name. Wilkins identified this photograph of Weeks as the same man.
Let's see it. Where'd you get this picture, Barlow?
Got it from Mrs. Weeks before going up to camp.
Well, that was a good piece of work. Now, this soldier, Wilkins, does he say why it was that Weeks chose him as a prospective partner in crime? Were they friends?
No, but they'd been introduced. Wilkins once did a short stretch for robbery, but claims he's now going straight. I think he is. However, it gave Weeks the idea of a possible association.
I see.
He says Weeks had the robbery well planned, knew the old man's every habit, and said all Wilkins would have to do was sit in a car outside the house and keep watch while he, Weeks, would go inside and rob old Marchick of his life savings.
Well, now, I have your first report here. Apparently, Weeks was posing as an insurance investigator and making plenty of inquiries about the old man.
Yes, sir.
So, I guess your next step is Ollie Marchick.
That's right, sir. I believe Corporal Hayward is keeping an eye on him, finding out what he can from the local residents, and plans to interview him when I get back to Rodney.
Then you'll want to be going. Goodbye. Good luck.
Barlow?
Yes, sir?
Slow down at the bend.
Right, Corporal.
That's Marchak's house up the road there.
Not much of a house, is it? Doesn't look as though it's worth robbing.
Well, it's my guess Weeks falls into the cowards class. He'd rather deal with a helpless old man for smaller returns than pick on someone his own size.
Yes, I guess you're right. Did you ever see such mud?
Yeah, this clay is plenty bad when there's been the kind of rain that we've had this season. Yeah, we'd have been stuck just outside of town if we brought the car.
You didn't get a chance to tell me the result of your investigations the last couple of days, Corporal.
Well, I didn't get a thing on Weeks. No one seems to have heard of him except the Andersons.
And nobody's seen him this past week.
No, not a sign of a stranger. But I did get something of interest from the local hardware merchant. It says that Ollie Marchick bought a shotgun from him last year, and that on the night of July 2nd of this year, that's the day Weeks disappeared, Marchick returned the gun to him, saying he could never learn to shoot it.
Just last week, huh? The 2nd.
But the interesting thing is, quite aside from the timing, that the gun showed signs of having been recently fired, and the stock was damaged.
You don't say. And yet the old man said he couldn't fire it.
Well, that's what he said. Well, here we are. Marchick should be in at this time of day. Apparently his habits never vary.
Except perhaps on the 2nd of July. Well, let's find out, Corporal.
I know nothing of this man. What is his name?
Weeks. Alfred Weeks.
I keep to myself. I like others to do the same. I wish I could help you with whatever it is you are searching for, but as I cannot, you will perhaps excuse me. I plan to do some gardening.
Well, we're sorry to keep you from your gardening, Mr. Marchick, but there are a few more questions.
But I told you, I know nothing.
I'm told that you had some windows broken in your house recently.
Windows? Why, yes.
How did they get broken?
I don't know, officer. It happened one day while I was in town. When I returned, they were broken. That's all I know. What can broken windows have
and
to
you
do
have
with...
no idea how they were broken?
No. No idea.
When were they broken?
Oh, it was... sometime last month, I think.
Or last week?
Perhaps. Although I think it was before.
The carpenter in town said he replaced the windows for you on July 3rd, last Wednesday.
Oh. Yes, well, Yes, it was last week.
Do you own a shotgun, Mr. Marchek?
No. No, officer, I have no gun.
You did own a shotgun, though, at one time.
Yes, but it was stolen last winter.
Stolen? I see. You didn't report its theft to the police?
No.
Nor your broken windows?
No, I did not want to bother the police.
Well, then, we won't keep you any longer now, Mr. Marchek. You've been very helpful. Thank you. Come along, Bartle.
What's the idea, Corporal? You were just starting to get somewhere with him.
I've already got there, I think, Barlow.
You think then that,
Yes, that Marchek murdered Weeks.
He did seem pretty scared.
And that false statement about the shotgun seems to indicate pretty strongly that he has something to hide. That and not reporting the broken windows to the authorities. That kind of vandalism is always reported, unless there's good reason.
So, what's your plan now?
Well, next we find the body. If I'm right, that is. We'll keep watch on the place until 5:00. He goes into town then for his mail. The mail clerk says that all he ever gets is his monthly pension check, but that he calls in every day just in hope.
Sad thing, that.
Yes, it is. Well, as soon as he's out of sight, we'll look the property over. Doesn't take long to spot a fresh grave. Well, Barlow, there's our man.
I'm afraid so. Nasty feeling sometimes, isn't it? When we meet with a final success.
Shot through the head. I have no doubt he asked for it, but it's murder nonetheless.
Shall we pick up Marchek at the post office?
No, I'll wait for him here. He'll be back. You better get into town, though, and notify headquarters to take care of the body.
You sure you don't want me to stay around, in case you have trouble with Marchek?
No, I won't have any trouble with him. I think he'll make a full statement.
Corporal, you have my congratulations. I don't believe there's another case on record of the location of a missing person and the solving of a murder in such a short period of time.
Thanks, sir. Oh, I had fine assistance from the men and the city police.
That's Marchek's statement you have there, is it?
Yes. I had no difficulty in getting it once he knew we'd found the body. Now, the way he tells it is about 6:30 on the morning of July the 2nd, someone began throwing stones through his windows. And threatening him with various forms of punishment if he didn't open his door.
I believe Barlow said one of the stones struck him and bruised him badly.
Yeah, and of course he was badly frightened. He picked up the shotgun as he saw his assailant attempting to enter the house through the side window. Without a thought, he fired at the man's head as it appeared in the opening, and the force of the shot forced the intruder backwards.
Then he went outside to investigate.
Not immediately. He was frozen with terror and didn't know whether the man had an accomplice. He remained inside for about a half an hour and then went out and found Weeks dead outside the window.
Well, it's a pretty shocking thing for a decent living old man.
Yes, and he's been living in fear ever since. Seems even relieved that the suspense is over. He dug a shallow grave. Didn't even know enough to disguise it. And went about his business.
He offered no resistance to arrest, I suppose.
No, none at all. You know, sir, the evidence all supports Marchek's contention that he killed in self-defense. That Weeks was entering his home with the avowed intention of robbing him of his meager life savings.
Yeah, there are good grounds for pleading self-defense.
Being old and infirm, he had no way of resisting other than by the use of a shotgun.
However, the matter should have been reported immediately to the police.
Yeah, that's so, of course.
The law of protecting one's property is clear on this point, but Marchek made every effort to conceal the fact that he shot and killed a man. Well, now, Corporal, let's not waste our time with a projected trail this morning. Marchek will be dealt with fairly in due time. Meanwhile, there's a war on.
Yes, sir. Detective Corporal Haywood really had a grand slam that time. A fine investigator, top notch.
What about the old man?
Marchek? Well, after due and careful consideration of all the evidence, The Attorney General directed that Marchek be charged with manslaughter.
Manslaughter, huh? How'd he make out?
Well, as I recall, due to the age of the accused and the circumstances under which Weeks met his death, the charge was later dismissed. The whole affair had quite an effect, I think, on criminals who are eyeing old age pensioners as a source of easy money.
I should think it would have.
And this was done at a critical period in the force, when the added demands of wartime regulations plus depleted ranks made one proud of the achievements of every officer.
Queen's Men, authentic stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Music under the direction of Sidney Torch. Script and adaptation under the supervision of John Adaskin. Produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.